Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM with Gillette. When we show our best side, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Game on 2FM.
Thank you to Jenny Green. It's May Day, Friday the 1st of May, and this is Game On.
Coming up today, Ireland and Wolves star Matt Doherty talks about the imminent return of the English Premier League. And I think we're happy about that, Donica.
Here we go.
And then the Stevens will retrieve it. And Stevens to dink it in there.
Gillian Walsh discusses the roadmap for Ruby's future.
I'm probably the happiest woman here. I'm sure his mum is very equally as happy. But we're so lucky for him to retire, you know, in this way on his own terms with a big winner at his home track, which is Punchestown, his local track. It's a dream come true. You couldn't have written it.
Will there be a clear roadmap for sport after Taoiseach Leo Varadkar's announcement tonight? We'll hear every word of that historical speech live here on Game On.
We'll get new advice from the Chief Medical Officer on Friday as to when we should start that process of reopening the country and reopening the economy.
And Ireland's fastest medic, Paul Heshin, gives his prognosis on the plans immediately afterwards.
Game On 2FM.
All that and much, much more between now and 7 o'clock. You can text us on 51552 or tweet Game On 2FM. Now, Donica, as we heard in the news there and in our intro, the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar is due to address the public at 6:30, and we will be playing that live here on Game On. His statement follows a meeting with the Cabinet. It was held today to sign off on a long-term plan to ease the restrictions, and we understand that the Cabinet have deliberated the return of some sports. Greyhound racing, horse racing, golf and tennis look like they could potentially return soon. So that's exciting.
That is exciting. I would never be a massive... when it comes to those sports, I think I could be an expert if they go back out there. Let me watch a greyhound race at the moment. I would be like, come on! Any sport.
What about golf?
Yeah, golf's hard to get behind. They just dress ridiculous, don't they?
I don't know, I could see in the old John Daly gear, pants, bright shirts.
There's too many fluffy rules in golf for me, I'll be honest with you. These kind of like, play it as it lies and all this kind of... No, I used to get in trouble with my teammates when we go golfing. They're different. I like rules, but there's some ridiculous ones in golf.
I think as well, when people are trying to put really important... shots that you would probably struggle to keep quiet.
Well, I understand the respect side of things, but just...
Something funny would happen over in the background and you'd be distracting them all.
What's he at, chasing a squirrel?
I don't know about golf for you.
No, I don't think so. Do you know what I'm loving? Top pole vaulters are set to use their back gardens. What about that?
That's amazing. That's sport coming back on Sunday. Like, doesn't matter what Leo says. We know we have live sport on Sunday.
So, yeah, what is it, Murray? We've three record holders and, you know, world champions competing on Sunday at 3 o'clock Irish time in their back garden at the pole vault.
Yeah, and they're trying to vault 5 metres as many times as possible in 30 minutes.
It's brilliant. Like, we were chatting to Colin Jackson about this, how sports need to evolve and move on, and this is a perfect example of it. Put it like, okay, bar you with your floodlit back garden and perfect astroturf, who else could do a pole vault out their back garden? Like, what do you jump over, the line?
I saw a couple of them, two of the lads had theirs done up in the promo video, and they looked like they were in these really remote, idyllic country gardens, and they had loads of space and they had all the crash pads. But then the third guy just seemed to live in like a kind of normal 3-bed semi and had a very small garden, and they didn't show what he was going to do. So I'm curious to see what kind of a setup he has. I'm sure someone's probably delivering him over some stuff. But
he's jumping over the house, Marie. That's what he's at.
He probably could, to be fair. Now, Donica, it is May, as we know, and in, I suppose, the old world that we used to live in, it'd be a really exciting time for football. We'd be looking forward to the Euros just around the corner. The Premier League should be coming to a conclusion that would probably have been dramatic, but We're not there. Instead, we're talking about lockdowns and when we might see something potentially behind the closed doors. And we're just fans and we're sports broadcasters who talk about it. But someone who is living it is Wolves and Republic of Ireland player Matt Doherty. And he joins us now on the line. Matt, it is very strange times, a life without football. How is it for you?
Hi, guys. How are you doing? Do you want the radio answer or the actual truth?
The truth, Matt. The truth. Give us the truth.
The truth is, now after 5 weeks of whatever, of how long it is, I'm going absolutely insane. Look, I've got 2 kids, 2.5 and 1.5 at home, and I guess parenting is hitting me in the face at the moment. So it's, I'm dying to get back out there and do what I love.
Keeping 2 small kids busy is a serious chore in itself, I'd say, Matt.
Yeah, it is, and especially when they don't listen to their dad. So I guess trying to convince them over the next couple of weeks that what I say, some of it actually makes sense, will be a bit tricky.
Matt, just body-wise, like having the time, I know you've been training, but actually I know the way niggles, bangs, knocks mid-season, to be able to get them under control, how have you found that?
Well, I guess for injured people, that would be fine. Like, fortunately for me, I don't get injured that much, and then hopefully, obviously, it stays that way. But I have seen that other players who have had long-term injuries. I know one of my friends, Benek, always had a cruciate injury, and he was due to miss pretty much the whole season. So for people who had little niggles or even long-term injuries, this time off is, and I guess it's going to benefit some teams where they're able to get their top players back. But for me, like, my injury record is quite good, and I guess I'm out doing running and stuff like that, so I haven't had really much of a problem.
And you're playing so well as well, Matt. You know, it's a time when the momentum is really with you because of your performances and so many eyes on you as well. And just when things are going so well, to be put in a situation where you're stalled, that must be quite frustrating.
Well, it was, to be honest, it was looking like it was going to be a real exciting finish to the season. Internationally and at club level, we were obviously in the Europa League still, knockout stages. I had a home leg to go. To get into the last, can't remember what it was, last 8, I think it was. And obviously we were well placed in the league with only 9 games to go. And we had Chelsea away last game of the season, so we were like trying to hope to get it to that, to see if maybe we could nick into like a 4th or 5th spot. So, and obviously you said before I came on about the Euros in the summer. I know we still had some games to qualify, but it was just looking like it was going to be a real great finish of the season and then leading into the summer. But all being curtailed now.
Matt, although we are in an unknown, it does seem like at some stage or appeared that the Premier League will come back, and it's been touted today that neutral venues could be the way to complete the season. And for a team like you, who you said like perhaps could have nicked a 4th spot with so much at stake, is that something you'd be in favour of?
Oh, for sure, yeah. I'm on the boat of wanting to finish the season. Because I'm just doing nothing else, so I guess I'm kind of desperate to get back. So even if it is in neutral venues, I don't have a problem with that. I don't think it benefits certain teams more than others. I think it'll just be the same for everybody. I still think we're quite a bit away from getting a decision definitely on what's going to happen. Because at this moment in time, I can't quite see how they can get it done necessarily. But if they find a way, then I'll be all for it, and I'll be getting out there as soon as I can, which I'm sure, even though people probably have reservations, when it comes to it, they'll be putting their boots on as well.
Matt, just on that, obviously if they use kind of neutral venues, they might look at putting you all in maybe hotels or, but you know, I know you're climbing the walls now at home, but being away from family for a bit of time, you know, how would you be about that?
Well, I guess it depends how long it is, because we're away quite a bit anyway. Well, for example, at Wolves, we'd play a Europa game on a Thursday night, so we'd be in a hotel Wednesday night. Then we'd have a game on the Sunday, so we'd be in a hotel on the Saturday night. Regardless if it was away or at home, we're in a hotel before every game. So yeah, we're in a hotel 2 or 3 times a week. And then when you go away in internationals, you're gone for 10, 12 days at a time. So you kind of get used to being away from home. But if they were to say, listen, you're going to be in a hotel for 3, 4, 5 weeks, then it might be different. But look, it is something that I would do, and I'm sure the majority would as well.
With 2 young kids, I'd say everyone would take it. A few nights in the hotel, we'd all be clamouring away.
Oh, yeah, no, you're not wrong about that. I've been trying to get away for the last 3 weeks, and we've only been in lockdown for 5 weeks. So,
So Matt, I know that in the past you've worked quite a bit on your game and your physique, and you had turned pescatarian. Is that something that you've kept up?
Yes, for the most part, yeah. There's been a couple of little relapses here and there, but it's something that I look at and try and stick to. It's not that I'm allergic to anything or I dislike it. Like if I was to eat something with some chicken, or it would still taste fine. It was just a decision I made that a couple of years ago, before I actually started eating fish again, just to try and get a bit fitter, try and lose some weight. And actually, at the time, it definitely worked for me, and it probably still does work. But I just liked my prawns and my fish a bit too much. I had to kind of go back to it.
Yeah. Just, Matt, in your dressing room at the moment, you're bound to have players that are either retiring or out of contract. How are they doing at the moment? You know, that dynamic of, you know, uncertainty about even your contract.
Well, I guess they're probably very worried. I'm just trying to think through our squad now. See, our squad is quite young. There's a lot of people there with 3 and 4 years left on their contract, including myself. So, I guess we kind of don't have really a worry in the world from our point of view. But if you're looking down the lower leagues, a lot of them would be on rolling contracts, one-year contracts, where they would be up on, I think it's June 30th or whatever it is. So who knows? Like, who knows what's going to happen to them? I was reading somewhere that you could have hundreds and thousands of players almost falling out of the game because of the contract situation that we're going to have. So fortunately for me, I'm not in that position, but. Like, I can understand the difficulty if you are in that. It must not be a nice situation to be in.
And Matt, just from a League of Ireland point of view, we know you started your career over here with the league. Are you worried about the future, just kind of given knowing the situation with football here in Ireland and how much the clubs struggle in general during the year anyway, let alone throw a pandemic and a crisis on top of some of them?
Yeah, of course. It's like you see it in all other businesses, not just in football. And I know the League of Ireland, it's not stadiums are not packed out and it's not full every week. So I know they must be struggling also, which is obviously not nice. So I guess we just got to kind of, when we do get back at it and we do get back together, we need to kind of support each other's business, support local business and support football games if you can. Try to get out and watch as much as you can because everybody's going to need it.
And having Stephen Kenny in charge, are you excited about kind of the change there?
Yeah, look, I spoke to him the other day and he was just kind of outlaying some of his plans and what he'd like to do, which is, I guess it's an exciting time ahead. I know a lot of the people back home in the media wanted to get him in, and he's done very well wherever he's been. So it's a new chapter for us. And I'm looking forward to whenever we do get back, hopefully in September is the next international break. And we still have the chance to qualify for next year now. So, look, it's going to be pretty exciting and I hope he does well.
We've seen Stephen's football philosophy at play with the under-21s and at Dundalk, and we know that he really likes to play football a certain way, and he believes that Irish players are capable of that as well. Do you think that our style of play, Ireland's style of play, will improve under Stephen?
I think so, just because of the way his teams have played previously and the clubs he's been at, and obviously the under-21s been very successful in the last couple of years. So. If you can bring that into the Irish team, like he said, we do have the players. I know people might not think that because of the way results have gone, but if you can get the players that are in the squad, because the talent is there, playing full of confidence, playing with freedom, then I know for a fact that the results will come, because I see it firsthand in training. I see it when they're playing for their club week in, week out. The talent is definitely there.
It sounds like, just from talking to him that one time, that you're kind of almost inspired already.
Look, I just, I guess when you speak to somebody about how they look at the game and you kind of have similar beliefs and similar thought process in how you like the games you played, I guess it is a bit refreshing. So, because we only spoke once, so it was a nice conversation. But I guess when I go in September, it'll be all business.
Because it's not easy to make that team, Matt, as you know.
No, it's not, and I've only got 10 caps, so my international career hasn't kicked off quite as much as I would have liked it. But look, I'm seem to be playing in a position where we seem to have a lot of very good players. So I guess it's up to me to make sure I get in.
How frustrating was it for you, just given your form in the Premier League and like even the attention you were getting in the media for not playing? Like, for you as a player who knows that you're what you're capable of, what was the time like for you when you, you know, when you really wanted to get into that starting 11?
Well, I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy that time, as you can imagine. I guess when you're full of confidence, Donegal know when you're full of confidence playing rugby, and you just want to play every game. You just feel like if you're playing, then you can be the one who makes the difference. And obviously, I wasn't playing at the time. But like I said, we had Seamus in there, who's the captain. So the competition for the and Cyrus Christie also. So the competition for the place is really high. And look, I haven't managed to play that many games, so it has been frustrating. But I'm not really going to dwell on it. I'm just going to kind of take my chance if it comes. I know we played against Denmark, and I feel like I played well in that game. So we'll just have to kind of see what happens going forward.
Matt, because confidence can come from the top down as well, and with someone like Stephen saying, "Go play, lads," you know what I mean. I know it's not as broad as that, but it is a different style.
No, yeah, you're right though. Like, if you have the belief and the confidence from the manager, or else if you're playing and you know that the manager's letting you play with freedom, so if you make mistakes, you're not worried about making mistakes, which is actually a good way to think, because you make mistakes because everybody gives the ball away. But if you give the ball away a couple of times and then you start to think, oh no, like I can't believe I keep giving it away, your confidence starts to drop. Kind of got to get into that mentality of if you give it away three or four times, it doesn't matter. You get the ball again. If you give it away again, it doesn't matter. You get it. You have to try and play with that confidence of not really caring.
Well, Matt, you've given us plenty of confidence anyway, what Stephen Kenny might bring. So thanks a million for that. And thanks so much for taking our call.
Yeah, best of luck minding the kids,
no problem,
Matt. That sounds like the hardest challenge.
You haven't mastered it yet, Donegal.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks. Let's take a quick break. Game on
2FM. Marie, brilliant here, Matt Dougherty there. Even just getting that little bit inside, Stephen Kenny onto him already about the style and how he wants him to play.
Laying out the plans, Donegal.
But like,
it's great.
That's man management, isn't it? You know, it's building the bonds before they meet up for the first time. He's putting the kind of foundations in place for, you know, what hopefully can be a great time. If you want to listen back, you can hear Matt Dougherty or any of our guests on the Game On podcast. Perfect company if you're taking on the garden.
It's really hard to believe that Matt's only got 10 caps.
Yeah.
Can't believe it.
Yeah, it is nuts. But you can hear the drive in him, though, to push on. But then again, Marie, like, you know, it can be really difficult when there's competition for places. And it's a disaster when, you know, some of the best players and leaders are in your spot.
Yeah. Did that happen to you?
Yeah, it did in Galway for an awful long time. You know, like, I remember Declan Kidney was there. Like, it can't even be an 80-20 call of you on rugby. Like, look what he brings all around, bar rugby. You know, he's just an incredible leader around our squad. So, and that can be frustrating. But, you know, I think listening to him there, he sounds like he wants to get out and light it up.
How do you deal with that when your manager is kind of saying to you, you don't really have a huge chance here of knocking that guy out of the position?
No, like, because Declan was really clear with me, and I'd like to think coaches are clear with him. You actually have to take control of it. You can't, you know, like he was telling me, it can't be a 50-50 call. You know what I mean? So you have to be so much better. So I remember kind of just the pressure on to perform in every training session makes it tough.
Yeah, well, as you said, once you have clarity and you have direction, then that is very helpful. So now, Donegal, we have been bereft of sporting moments, but today we have decided to celebrate a big sporting milestone. It's a year to the date since Ruby Walsh retired. And to check out how our co-presenter is coping with life out of the saddle, we decided to call up the best person placed who would know, his wife, Gillian Walsh. But first, let's hear some of his greatest moments.
Come to the final bench, it's Kemboi over from Albon Photo. Inside the final 200 yards, Kemboi from Albon Photo. Who's getting it? Everything, but Kemboi will win it. I need to be myself.
Now, some absolutely fantastic times Ruby has given us. But now he's at home with Gillian. How are you, Gillian?
Hi, Marie. Hi, Donica. How are you?
More importantly, how are you? How has the last year been?
Well, it's just flown, Marie. I can't believe, you know, we should be in Punchestown at the 2020 Punchestown Festival last year. It's been a whirlwind year, really. I don't know, the time just flies by.
Look, we know he likes to keep busy. Is he helpful around the house?
He's not too bad. He's not too bad. You know, Ruby, he likes to think he's good at kind of everything and can do everything. So, you know, I let him off. If he's offering to help in the house, I let him at it. Yeah, you know.
Gillian, we heard it there, and you saying when Ruby came out of it that he did it on his own terms. And there is an awful lot of pressure from trainers, owners, fellow jockeys. Like that process of him hanging him up and, yeah, and coming away from the game. Yeah. How much had you to do with that?
Oh, I didn't really have anything to do with it. And to be honest, I wanted to kind of stay out of it because I wanted him to make the decision himself. I didn't want to be saying, when are you retiring? You know, blah, 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 it's dangerous. You know, I just didn't want that to happen. I wanted him to come to the decision. And luckily he did, you know, luckily it was all his own decision. You know, and when he made it, you know, you guys know what Ruby's like. He's black or white. So when he made the decision, that was it. I knew he was happy with his decision. And that was a huge thing for me, that I knew he was happy with the decision.
Is he different in any way?
No, I don't think he's different at all. Like, he's lucky he hit the ground running in a way. I think the number of injuries he had over the last few years, it kind of gave him time to think about what maybe he was going to do after racing. And he made good use of the time he had off when he was in rehab. And then, so when he retired then, I think it was kind of a seamless transition. He just kept really busy, and I think that really helped.
Gillian, you mentioned it there, the injuries and the safety. Were you watching races, kind of going, whatever about picking up a big injury, even a small one, if he's off for 3 weeks, he's going to be hellish.
Yeah, I know. And that definitely got, as you know, Donica, it gets harder when you get a bit older and you have kids at home and you have, you know, probably back when we were younger, you know, it was kind of all about Ruby, and, you know, you come home and relax. And, but definitely as you know, the last couple of years, and unfortunately he was quite injury prone in the last few years, and injury and rehab, that all did become more difficult as you get older.
What was he like during the times? Was he all pitch or no sound?
No, to be honest, he was very good. I mean, at times I used to feel so sorry for him when he got injured, particularly, you know, mid-season, in the middle of a season, and you'd know exactly what he was going to be missing and how disappointed he was. And he used to take it very, very well. You know, he'd have his few days and then he'd get his head around it, and it was just onwards and upwards. He's very, very positive person. And so that really helped me when, you know, when he was injured and when he was badly injured, and we were looking at, you know, long, long stretches of time that he was going to be at home and off. He's able to pick himself up and keep himself occupied and keep himself busy.
The girls must be absolutely thrilled having him around so much.
They are. Like, it's funny, this time last year, I was kind of saying little things to the girls, like, you'll get to see Daddy more when he retires. Little did I know that actually they've been at home for 7 full weeks with him since they finished up in school in March. But so they're loving, they love having him here and having him at home.
Isabel's like the sound engineer. We always
she
see
is.
Her.
Yeah.
Right beside him, making sure he's ready to go.
Yeah. She loves it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know what he'd do without her working from home here in the office. Yeah.
Do you think any of them will follow in his footsteps?
Gosh, I don't know. They're too young to say at the moment. You know, they're interested in ponies, but they're interested in lots of other things as well. So I don't know. Only time will tell.
Gillian, it's horrible when that pressure starts, though, from people outside, doesn't it? You know, like, I see it even, you know, my own kids. It's all when they play rugby and you're there. Mm. Just leave them have crack.
I know. And it must be, as you know, you can understand, it must be very hard for children, you know, of sports people that have been successful and then they're trying to carve their own career. It's, yeah, absolutely. There is that pressure. So no, whatever they want to do, whatever they're, you know, Ruby and I'll be delighted at whatever they choose to, whatever path they decide to take.
Yeah. Gillian, thanks so much for joining us. We'll have him back on next Monday.
Oh yeah, lucky you guys.
Yeah.
thanks so much.
Best of luck with that. See you. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
What a quick year.
That flew, didn't it?
But it really did.
It actually sent shockwaves around the place, didn't it, straight away, hearing about Ruby.
Yeah, I was over watching Liverpool play against Barcelona in the Champions League, and it's one of those ones where you actually take a second and go, oh wow, this is really big news.
Yeah, and we were lucky enough to be at the HRI Awards with him, isn't it? And like AP McCoy said, it was like walking in with Lionel Messi, wasn't it? It was incredible to see the regard he's held by his peers.
Well, if anybody is going to be thrilled that sport might be coming back, I think that Ruby Walsh should be one of those people, because I know he's really missing the horse racing. And we are going to hear from Leo Varadkar very, very shortly. And hopefully, Donica, he'll be bringing us some good news. But it is hard to know, because health has to come first. And we say it over and over again. We're probably going on about it a little bit too much. But like the solo sports, it's kind of hard to tell whether or not they will come back, but it would be great to see some of them.
Yeah, it certainly would. And look, I think you nailed it. Let's put everyone's safety first. And to be fair, we've done a great job as leaders. They've done a great job, but also from the people, from the bottom up in Ireland, people have been great.
Ruby said today in an interview that once you close the gate, there's no spectators, there's no bookmakers, no owners. He said, I don't even know if trainers need to be there. He said you could go a little bit further, no connections, and jockeys would just kind of do their own thing, that then it could come back fairly handy.
They do it anyway. But they've proven it, to be fair to horse racing, they proved it before even they locked down. They were behind closed doors for a while, so they're ready to go.
Yeah, well, they did it for a good few weeks, and they will no doubt, like a lot of the sporting organisations, have big plans in place, because like as you said, Donica, that's what you have to do. You have to adapt, you have to reinvent yourself, and they're lucky they're in a position where they can not be close to each other, whereas as for our old favourites, contact sports and all the rest, I don't know.
Yeah. Get them to one area and then look after them.
Now, we're always talking about charity, and there are some great causes out there, and a lot of fundraising been done over this weekend in particularly. And GAA Stars are trying to raise money for charity with an inter-county FIFA 20 tournament, and Mayo star Matthew Ruan joins us now on the line to tell us all about it. Matthew, how are things?
Hi, how are you? Not too bad, not yourself?
So tell me, what are you going to be doing this weekend?
Yeah, so just starting now at 7 o'clock this evening, we're played the first round of our FIFA, All-Ireland FIFA 20 tournament will be taking place. So it's in aid of just to raise money for the healthcare workers. So really looking forward to it.
So you were playing very, very shortly. This is your warm-up. Donica could give you a good team talk now, Donica, before you get into it. What would you say?
I'd say, Matthew, fair play to you, because if this wasn't for charity, you're blackguarding, isn't it? It's just a load of you having a great laugh playing FIFA.
Well, yeah, it is at the end of the day. Like, but it's nice to kind of get a bit of that competitiveness that you wouldn't have got otherwise. Like, it's no kind of championship Sunday or anything like that, but it's nice to have something to play for, like, you know. But at the end of the day, it's great that we can, you know, raise money for the healthcare workers as well, like, you know.
I've seen it in my own dressing room how competitive FIFA can get. We've nearly had to pull guys away from each other the next day. How can people help? Because this is going to be a competitive event.
Yeah, exactly. So the way I think most of us now have all kind of posted on our social media, just the link to the GoFundMe page. So the Gaelic GPA, Instagram, and Twitter will all have it up. So I think it's at Gaelic Players, and all of the lads who are competing, all of it on their social media as well. So you can just kind of follow the links there and just donate whatever you can. So yeah.
Matthew, how are you picked? Like, do you have to be the best on the team? Like, you know, do you have some sort of skills? Is there a criteria to be put forward?
Yeah, well, we just had a playoff at our with the Mayo lads. I actually originally put it up onto the WhatsApp, and there wasn't too many lads kind of interested, like, so it all seemed to be kind of the younger generation lads that were interested. I think David Clark, one of the goalkeepers in our team, the last game he played was Crash Bandicoot or something like that, which is about 14 or 15 years ago. So yeah, there wasn't actually much uptake in it now, so
there is. But Matthew, there is pressure though, like, because you're right, a lot of your teammates would fancy themselves. They'll be watching you tonight going, what are you at?
Yeah, exactly. So it's nice to, again, like, you know, just to play for something on the line like that, and just to kind of get those pre-match nerves that you wouldn't usually, or you wouldn't get around this sort of time, like, you know. But yeah, looking forward to it now. It'll be really great.
Did you go whole hog if you had the pre-match meal ready to go?
Oh yeah, the training session is all this week now, pre-match meal, all the visualisations all done.
Matthew, it must be nice to connect as well. Connect with like other people, other players.
Yeah, big time. That's one, I suppose, one of the beauty of technology, like one of the negatives, and there's obviously a lot of negatives, but there's positives to it as well. There's, you can go online and play your PlayStation, whatever, and connect with your friends in different locations and that. So in that sense, it's absolutely brilliant. Like, so yeah.
That sounds great, and such an absolutely brilliant cause as well, because there are so many of them. Matthew, thanks so much. Game on 2FM. Welcome back to Game On. We have just heard from Leah Varadkar there, and the current restrictions are extended until the 18th of May. And then after that, there will be more easing of them. But for now, it's pretty much continue as you are. The 2 kilometre limit is extended to 5 kilometres from Tuesday. And schools are going to stay closed as well, Donegal, until September. There will be some small gatherings after May 18th, so that might pave the way a little bit for training and for teams to get together, but nothing specific was revealed about what the future looks like for a sport. The Cabinet will be meeting tomorrow, and I suppose over the next few days things will become a little bit clearer, but for now we're just going to have to watch the athletics on Sunday to get our sports fix.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep going. But it's good to hear. Look, I always like listening to him because I think he gives proper leadership and he shows the way and his empathy for the people, not only that are on the front line, but sadly that have had losses. And what I love about it, Marie, is there's a plan. There's a 5-stage plan, 3 weeks apart, August the 10th, and rolled out to that. And you know, look, it has been tough for really everyone, but it just, like, personally, you think of your own family situation. I know my mom has been cocooning, and even just a small thing for her to get out to be able to go for a little stroll, a walk around the place, for it just mentally, that is a massive lift, and I think it's badly needed. So it's great that there is parts of it that can improve and get better.
Well, luckily, Donica, we might have an expert.
Yeah, we're lucky. Every Friday we do put a focus on our frontline heroes, and thankfully we've one of the fastest doctor in Irish history, Dr. Paul Heshin. Paul, how are you?
I'm not too bad, Donica, yourself?
I'm great. Obviously, there's no one better to speak about, you know, Leo's comments there than yourself. You're at the front line in CUH, and you've probably seen over the last few weeks the effects of everything that's going on. Great news that we are flattening the curve. But what are you seeing, Paul?
Well, I suppose when the news broke back in kind of late February, early March, I did see, you know, CUH had a great response. I think most hospitals in the country did. We went into a crisis mode, and we've been gradually, I suppose, releasing that crisis mode in the last couple of weeks, because we have managed to flatten that curve, which is great. I work in the intensive care unit in Cork, and we didn't get the numbers that we had planned for, which I suppose is a testament to everyone in the country that they did what was asked of them. So hopefully that means that we can gradually reduce and release these restrictions, and hopefully we don't see a huge surge, you know. Time will tell.
And that's been the thing, listening to Leo there, May the 8th, people are getting antsy around home, but you might give your experience of being there, being on the front line, the importance of continuing, keep going.
Well, I suppose I'm looking at it from an intensive care perspective in particular. You know, I think it's been well documented how we are short on intensive care beds in Ireland, like 5 beds per 100,000 or something like that, or per 10,000. So compared to even Italy, where we saw the absolute pandemonium and chaos, where they have 6 times the number of beds that we have in intensive care. So there isn't much leeway there. And if we did get, say, a huge surge in admissions, it wouldn't take much to tip us over. So it's very important, I think, for Ireland in particular to have a graduated response to this. And I think Leo, even though he was low enough on specifics, at least, as you said, he gave a 5-point plan 3 weeks apart. I think it's a sensible approach. And hopefully by August, we'll certainly be in a better place in terms of what we're allowed to do. But with the knowledge that we have to step back if and when it's required.
Do you think by May 18th that we will be in a position where we can put that plan in place, Paul, just from being on the front line and seeing how things have developed?
Yeah, well, I'm coming at it from one hospital in the country, which I suppose has been less affected than maybe some in Dublin. But we do have capacity, you know, in Cork, for example, to deal with an increase in admissions. We do have empty beds, we do have empty ICU beds, and we have a surge capacity that wasn't there in January that's there now to put these patients in. So, yes, I think personally, this is again a personal point of view, but I think we have leeway there to relax the restrictions. It's just the degree to which will be dictated by how this virus spreads when we do relax them. It's really hard to predict.
Paul, just like obviously the transition from sports, you know, it can be very difficult. But to be put into scenarios like this, you know, a massive crisis, is there anything from your sport and background that you've kind of brought with you, you know, to the current one dealing, as you said, in scenarios like intensive care there?
Well, I suppose I often talk about how sport can be used in life in general and in work, in my work or in anyone's work, really, you know, the things you learn about dealing with pressure and you know, planning and everything that comes into your day-to-day in sport that you don't really think about when you're in the middle of it. And you're thrust into a different kind of environment and you realise, yes, I can actually use a lot of the stuff I did as an athlete in my day-to-day as a doctor. And certainly in my line of work, I suppose I'm an anaesthetist and an intensive care doctor. So I kind of deal with, you know, high risk or sometimes risky scenarios or very unwell patients. So I suppose I need to keep the head a lot when I'm down in resuscitation department of the emergency room or in the theatre when things go wrong. So you're the one that people often look to at the head of the bed to keep the head. So I suppose in that sense, I'm well suited to it from my history in sport, you know.
And Paul, what about exercise? You know, athletics was such a big part of your life for so long. Have you kept it up?
Well, I get asked that a lot, you know, at work and everything. It has been very difficult actually to keep fit, especially now. I have two kids, you know, and with the restrictions and everything, and I'm trying to do a master's and I'm doing really long hours at work. So especially since we moved to Cork and since we had the little lad, you know, Joe Wicks with my 3-year-old is about it on my days off at the moment.
Joe Wicks can sit in the pine. To be honest, you hold that record of being the fastest man in Irish history. Paul, thanks so much for joining us.
No bother. My pleasure, Dominic. Game on
2FM. So don't forget some small gatherings after the 18th of May. Five-a-sides all the way. Bit of training for teams.
Great news for your backyarden, Marie. You can actually now take bookings for Marie's backyarden. You could run that place out till 12 o'clock at night.
I could rent it out.
That was obviously in the thinking, wasn't it?
That was.
Yeah. Okay, that's it from all of us on the Game On team. A massive thank you to Andrew and Daniel. DJ Wax is up at 10 o'clock. The official chart show with the brilliant blonde Tracy is up next. Enjoy the weekend. Stay home, stay safe and mind yourself. Marie and Ruby are back on Monday with the brilliant Sonia O'Sullivan. But now, it's time for your news.
Game on 2FM.